He could do an ill game show though. That's not a lie. And it'll be on Prime. Come on now.
Prime. That's how they can save Prime. That's what get people to watch Prime Video. Not fucking Marvel's Mrs. Maisel. That ain't gonna do it.
Although I heard it was lit. I haven't seen it.
You heard.
One of my good friends told me it was lit.
You heard. Shout out to Michael. Did you see it?
I haven't seen it.
Send the link.
Welcome to Send the Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-captain, co-pilot, and apparent co-conspirator, Deej Dollars, in his, I guess, burglar tactical suit. Black turtleneck gang. What's up? How you living?
I don't know. Maybe I look like a generic burglar, like the ones you see on, like, nationwide commercials or some shit, like when somebody is robbing your house.
And nah, you look like one of those. Turtleneck. You look like one of those burglars that's like very skilled. You know, in movies when they make burglars like bumbling, but like the real team comes in and it's like they're just that guy in the hoodie and shit, and they do everything very tactically and efficient and just walk away and no one knows.
Like similar to Mr. Wolf from Pulp Fiction. Not a burglar though, just a Mr. Fix-It type
person. Yeah, just like, yeah, basically.
Well, this is Heat Tech. I won't endorse the brand, but I'm just trying to stay warm.
But unless y'all want to give us money, then
it's fine. Breezy. But shout out to them because this shit works.
You know, winter is here.
Winter is here.
The wind is howling as we speak.
The wind is howling.
I was trying to block it out. If you're listening, you hear any howling wind. But today is probably the first day I was like, wow, it is a brick.
It's always the wind. The wind is the devil.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's the devil whistling.
It was pretty terrible, and I was not ready for how terrible it was outside today.
Well, you know what we weren't ready for?
What?
Was doing the pod last week. The actual first week of 2019.
You know, that's the just readjustment week.
Yeah, we readjusted pretty well. I believe I came to the PLG penthouse. What is this? Prospect Heights? Prospect Penthouse Studio. And instead of potting, we fired up a couple dozen rounds of Super Smash Brothers.
A couple dozen is a polite.
Polite?
Polite.
A couple
number.
Hundred, maybe. Super Smash Brothers. What is that new name? What is the name of it?
Ultimate.
Ultimate. The Ultimate. Yes. Does that mean it's the last one?
It means they run out of words that sound powerful and
extreme. I don't know how, you know, expansive the Japanese lexicon is when it comes to like keep making terms that are like similar to one another. You went from melee to brawl. Brawl and melee are like synonyms.
Yes.
Brawl, melee, then it was like Wii U. They were just like, fuck it, and then came Ultimate. So we with it. That derailed everything. So our apologies, or at least my apologies. I don't know if Brandon was really going to be apologetic about...
No, I'm not sorry.
Skimping out.
I'm not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
Super Smash Brothers takes precedence sometimes.
Yeah, it was a long time coming. You and I spent many thousand rounds in our college days playing with a couple of other homies in Brandon's dorm room. So just tried to rekindle that.
Yeah, it felt good to be young again.
Open up a can. Go with Marth. Brandon has a wider array of Smash fighters.
I like to think so.
But it was good.
It was good. But we're back.
Yeah. So it was fuck the pod then, but we with the pod now.
The pod lives.
Pod lives.
It lives on and it shall continue into whatever day, because Super Smash Bros. Is great, but, you know, the podcast is more important.
Yes, with
it. Potentially.
Today.
So just to clarify everything, it's the second week of January. It's the 10th that we're recording on. And a lot has been going on, or has it been going on, between the government's shutdown and everyone's general malaise. It seems like the news cycle and the cycle of pretty much everyone paying attention to the news has kind of slowed a bit, but there's a lot of major happenings happening in the world of tech, culture, and politics, DJ.
Yeah, per usual. And social media is the fuel to always keep us informed, or at least begging for us to be informed about something. And luckily, there have been a lot of crazy shit happening over the past few weeks. 2019 has started off with a bang. I don't know, where do we start, really?
Well, I'm a fan. I used to be a fan of reality dating competitions.
Okay.
To a certain extent.
Where did that start for you?
Well, like early on, it started with like the MTV's like Real World stuff like that. It wasn't reality, but it was just like, it wasn't like a competition, but
the
it was
dating shows. You said?
No, for my like personal interest.
Okay.
It was like, all right, so these are people, they're in the house and you could kind of see who's going to like
talk to each other. Yeah, I used to be into Real World and Road Rules and obviously the competitions between the two as well.
And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to venture into the actual full-on scumbag ones like Bachelor, Bachelorette, and my favorite throwback, Joe Millionaire.
Ooh, Joe Millionaire.
You remember Joe Millionaire?
Yeah, I do. That one just, even when I was younger, I was like, this is kind of slimier than even the normal one.
The premise of Joe Millionaire is that Joe is not a millionaire.
And, yeah, he's like, Loki ain't shit at the end.
If you pick him, and he's like, gotcha!
Yeah, he's like, don't you love me for me? I thought you loved me for me. No, nigga, you said you were a millionaire.
All right. I was looking at the shows that got canceled this year or were produced that people kind of forgot about or didn't know. And there was one with the premise of, who's your daddy? Of this woman trying to find her real dad amongst these suitors.
Yo, the reality television industry is just completely gone off the rails as it's, you know, falling more into general irrelevance. And there are just so many shows, so many ridiculous things. During a program that we'll discuss a little later, they've had all these commercials regarding like a show that follows Little Women around in Las Vegas. They have a show called Married at First Sight.
Was it First 48? Oh, that's the one when they get like a, yeah, I watched that over the break.
Married at First Sight?
When they just marry these people from overseas or something like that.
No, this is just like, it's kind of, well, I haven't seen the show, but it seems as if it's like kind of like a game show. Not even a full-on game show, but you basically just meet this person and you get married immediately.
Right.
Yeah, you might build out a profile and that's it.
I didn't know it was a game show. I don't know if it's Married at First Sight, but there's one where like they will like marry someone from abroad and they'll come over and they'll like live with them for a few months. And
it's like the Melania Trump show, right?
And, yeah, and families are just like, who is this person? We hate them. And it, like the girl's like, he loves me. Like, yo, this is out of hand.
I think that was like a biopic, the Melania Trump biopic.
Wait a minute. I have to go back. But the thing about the health, the who's your daddy, was that if she picks the person that's her dad, she wins money and he wins money. And if she picks someone that's not her dad, the guy... He tells her who her real dad is, but only he gets the money.
Was the host got to be Maury, right?
Honestly, she got canceled, so we'll never know. But Maury would be... Maury is immoral. He could do that.
He's immoral. I feel like he's just trying to tell a story.
But I say all this because we need to have a new reality show. Bezos Billionaire.
Oh. Who wants to marry a billionaire?
Who wants to marry a billionaire?
Everybody.
Or some kind of Amazon-related pun. Okay, we drop 8 sexy singles into the Amazon rainforest.
The most dangerous game.
The most dangerous game. And you have to capture Jeff Bezos, or he has to capture one of them?
Capture you?
Jeff Bezos captures...
Or you're the last one to be captured, maybe.
If you're the if you can evade Jeff Bezos and his army of
and not use drone Prime. Robots
for 6 months in the Amazon rainforest, then he will choose you to be his new bride. Sounds about right.
This is because he just recently is getting divorced. Is that right?
Jeff Bezos and his wife... Wife.
Wife Bezos.
Shout out to Bird Box. Wife, girl, boy.
Shout out to being prepared. Don't even know this fine woman's name. What's her name?
Wife Bezos.
Oh, man. I'm going to look it up because I feel bad. We're going to get hate now.
We'll look it up. We'll look it up in a second.
We'll put it in the show notes.
We'll put it in the show notes. We had it.
I'm listening.
Your phone is over there. That's why I said
We'll cut it.
I'll get the thing in a second. But first, we'll
do it live. Fuck it.
We'll do it live. Jeff Bezos is divorcing his wife of 25 years.
Sheesh.
And apparently, as rich people do, and according to this Atlantic article, they did some good in-depth looking at what exactly are the politics and policies of rich divorce.
Right.
Instead of broke-ass divorce.
Big difference.
Yes. It's amicable and has a lot of further steps to come forward because of Jeff Bezos's $137 billion, which is obviously and primarily tied into Amazon stock.
Amazon stock, yeah.
So what is noted is that it, number one, pertains to which state you're in. So first and foremost, you're looking at the state location.
Seattle, Washington.
Washington State.
Washington State.
And what happens is, in Washington and other states with similar laws, there is what's called community income.
Hmm.
Community income means that 50% of all assets between the two pair is community income.
Okay.
It is pooled together. There's other states where, like New Jersey, where it's like, all right, you get a percentage pertaining to what you brought into the relationship versus what the other person brought into the relationship.
Is that discovered through arbitration or something like that?
Yes.
It's at the time of the establishment of the wedding license, is that?
Right. So it's at the establishment of the wedding license. And prior, let's say, between Jeff and wife, you're looking at, the longer the relationship is, the more that can be pooled into the community income portion.
Okay.
And their relationship being that it's 25 years ago, starting prior to him even starting Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He left Wall Street and just, we're going to start this business together.
Yeah.
With no prenuptial agreement between the two of them.
All right.
She's entitled to much community income.
So no to you, Drake. She was shooting with him in the gym for a long time.
She was shooting in the gym.
So let us, I will give like 2.5 seconds of saying, we're talking about this, but you know, it's unfortunate for people to go through these breakups, but hopefully it ends.
Before we go into the fucking ledger, look at all the accounting.
After that, when I saw this news, I immediately posted like the CNBC link in like the chat with my friends. I'm like, yo, y'all got to get on the grind, move to Seattle. Go cougar hunting. Like, we got to do this for the culture. Do this for the people. Like, you could feed a lot of people with $66 billion off this split. It's a lot to be gained.
It's pretty insane when you think about how much money it is. But luckily for her,
mm-hmm.
they say in states that don't have the community income thing, for fortunes at large, they'll be like, well, you can live off $1 billion and then just give the rest to the other party that right. really made all the money.
Right.
So she's due for a lot. Now, another thing they're talking about is what is this going to do for the stability of Amazon in terms of who right. is the number one shareholder and who yeah. has the most votes.
Voting, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a possibility that they will not dissolve their shares between the two of them. They each get half, but their combined voting power will be placed in a trust with an individual that they feel they both can trust.
Ah.
Which is like a fire game show.
Yeah, and this is like smart people doing smart shit, maybe.
Smart shit, maybe. And it's weird, because when I think about rich divorce and rich life.
This is the richest divorce.
The richest this divorce.
Is that that's fire, not the game show.
That's a fire BBC drama. The richest divorce. Mm-hmm. I like it. It's about Diana and fucking... Oh, God.
They weren't the richest. This is literally the richest person in the world. Or the wealthiest person in the world, getting a divorce and doing a 50-50 split with his wife. And everything seems to be above board.
Yeah, there's no craziness and there's no real rumblings of infidelity.
No, there are. There's a lot of holes on the side.
Oh, at the Golden Globes?
At the Golden Globes.
Because Jeff was there.
With wife or boy, girl?
I mean, he definitely wasn't there with wife because, as I know now, with leaked.
Hold on, was he there like by himself with like his arms out with a vest on? Like
he was, he was just sitting there at a table just like making everyone talk about him. Oh, Jeff is here by himself. Oh my God. Shit. Jeff Bezos. But no, he was at the Golden Globes choosing his shit. Just like.
Oh, he's out of market. He's like, fuck it.
Yeah, he's out here just looking with that eye.
Yeah, the strong one. Right. Yeah, there's a... I came in a little flat-footed in preparation for the pod today, so my apologies. But there is another corollary, Alexis Madrigal piece from The Atlantic that speculates on how and why the National Enquirer has been running so many stories about Jeff Bezos and his alleged infidelities. At the same time that Donald Trump has been on a you know, on a vendetta against Bezos because he owns the Washington Post and whatnot.
Wait, so this is a Washington Post National Enquirer like proxy war?
Well, it's a one-sided war, so I'm not even sure if I would call it a war.
I mean, I thought Trump like had boys with the National Enquirer.
Yes, right, with David Pecker, the owner of the National Enquirer. So I forgot how, it was a cleverly worded question, but essentially it is, how could, why is this one person who is open to so much exposure, one Donald Trump, who had been in the National Enquirer all the time for good and bad because Trump fed them a lot of stories, why is he so clean going forward as of now compared to one Jeff Bezos, who was part of the receiving the ire of Donald Trump, part of these, like, you know, National Enquirer, like that whole style of journalism, gotcha journalism that they do. There's probably more meat and substance to it. Obviously, we've referenced Alexis Madrigal pieces on Centrelink before, so maybe we'll add an addendum to it. In the very least, we can add it to show notes. But it was just I skimmed it, so I don't remember that well. I've only read like the first paragraph because I got distracted. But so it was just like an additional piece to the convo. Because you were saying there was nothing scandalous or anything happening, but it's like apparently maybe potentially holes on the side.
Well, what I did hear is that infidelity.
How'd you hear this?
From my guy, friend of the pod, and a person who could include Jeff Bezos' wife name in the article because I couldn't remember it, Mackenzie Bezos.
Ah, yes.
Joe Pinkser, in his article from The Atlantic, he broke it down pretty well. And he says there wasn't too much in the news, but I guess there is some stuff floating around. But even so, if there was infidelity...
It was floating around in the shittiest of tabloids.
But I mean, you know, hey, aliens
they
are
got
real.
Tiger. They got Tiger Woods.
They got Tiger.
That was not a cap.
So, you know, sometimes you shoot your shot and you score. But no, in a lot of states, basically the infidelity thing is not a big deal in terms of like how you break it up money, unless it's like spent on it. So if he's like out taking a chick on private jets and stuff like that, then she's entitled to that money.
I mean, could he have not done that? Like, how do you, if you're somebody like him who is as busy and exposed as he is, like, he definitely has to move in such manners.
But maybe he doesn't. Sometimes you just want to walk on the street by yourself and pick up some strange, you know, that's what he...
that was happening, yeah.
That's maybe how he was, I don't know. But it's just it's a weird time, man. It's a weird time that I guess one say the one of the major pillars of our society is in flux because of a marital spat. So it's interesting times. I know. I mean, Walmart's like probably do they send like honeypots and shit his way just to sort of shake things up, you know, things were on the rocks
to McKinsey to get like to, I don't know, somehow convince her to like fuck up Amazon votes and stuff for people on the board.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, you never know what's going on with this big time corporate international politics spy type stuff. I wouldn't really be surprised.
Yeah. From a different perspective, it also just shows how lopsided everything is, how smart observers are starting to call us like, and as you've mentioned, you're a smart guy, that this is like a new gilded type of age because everything's just so lopsided that a divorce in this nature from Jeff Bezos is like international news because it has a potential to affect so much. Just the simple fact that a man and a woman got divorced, that's like literally impacts on international markets, stock markets, and the U.S. economy, and various industries.
For me, it's interesting when I think about what it takes to actually physically accomplish this. Because
accomplish what?
The like separation of assets. Because rich people, as the article kind of alludes to, it's like, well, if your average person's like, oh, who gets the dog, right? That kind of shit. It's like, well, we have all these Fabergé eggs. We have this account in the Caymans. We have, you know, these season tickets to fucking F1 in Monaco and all this kind of shit like that.
Oh, shout out to F1 Monaco.
And it's like, these things either have to be liquidated, which is the big thing about stock and why they need to like agree to do something with it instead of like liquidating all the stock, which will like throw our
they can just split it in half.
They could do that, but a lot of times, especially when it's like someone wins a settlement and these things, they liquidate it. So that's gonna cause everyone to be like, oh, the market.
Right. Yeah.
But it's like, wow. It's just weird to feel how much we're this Gilded Age shit, we're at a whim of all this crazy just because Jeff Bezos out here choosing.
Out here in the National Enquirer.
You know, out here in the National Enquirer, where, you know, what was it? B-Tech, high-tech, what you say? Turtle neck.
I'm not dressed like Bezos. Low-key, I might be dressed like Bezos today. Damn. You
know, Jeff Bezos dresses like he's his own shooter and shit. Like,
he's a what?
He's his own shooter. Like,
yeah. Yeah, definitely.
It's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, he's a character. But, damn, I lost my train of thought. But
I do have a question for you.
What's up?
So, now that Mackenzie Bezos is on her own, right? Mm-hmm. And is looking to receive a large amount of stock and or liquid cash. Right. Do you know who she's dethroning as the potential world's richest woman?
Oprah? No, not
that's
Oprah.
How much money.
No, Jeff one of the Walton, says, by the way, one of the Walton
the
kids.
The fact that half of his money is to make her the richest woman in the world.
Yeah, no, legit. And they're gonna be tied like still within the top five, right? Probably one of the Walton kids. One of the Walton kids. Wait, I was gonna. Oh, the one we're gonna zoom.
Go
back,
ahead,
but. You were saying how could rich people do this type of shit? All I was going to say was fancy high paid lawyers that just have enough time and patience to do this. And it'll be well worth their while. So it'll be fine. Like
They're like wait, how much commission? All right, we'll be there.
Right, they'll be there, trust me. Yeah, this is some next level shit. Unprecedented type shit. But yeah, I would wager one of the Walton kids of the Walmart empire.
I will say that you're half right. It is an heir/heiress.
Okay.
But we're talking about Francois Betancourt Myers.
Ooh.
The heiress to L'Oreal.
Oh.
Yeah. So getting French.
I didn't know they had the bag like that.
I didn't know either, but they probably have like a conglomerate of all this beauty crap.
Yeah, no, nah, definitely L'Oreal. Yeah. What? How much is she?
It doesn't say in the article that I'm not, you know, in her pockets like that. So,
the article's like respectful. Like, once you have that much money, this shit really doesn't matter. Like,
and honestly,
it does not matter.
You know what's funny when you think about it? When that much of your wealth is tied up in stock, it's just like, wow, you are so rich that you're richer just because people fuck with you. It's just like, it's like, well, we really fuck with Amazon, like, yeah. Fuck with it, so they're, you're
they're,
richer.
They're conditionally. Conditionally rich.
You're conditionally rich.
But that's how you get richer. Like everything, like you're.
It's all clout.
Clout, but you are. You are. What am I trying to say? You're resting it on. The belief. Risk on risk on. You just have equity that's supposed to grow, and that's just the best way to grow your wealth. Like you can't. First off, you get taxed on, like, just your bank account.
Right.
Like, one way, like, in a general sense. So, why not put it, you know, to use buying various different types of financial assets and real estate? So, yeah, I mean, it's a weird concept because there's just not quite that many people just sitting on liquid cash. That's why Apple is so crazy because they just have literally
the money.
They have like $200 million, like over 200. I think over $300 billion. I think literally over like $300 billion. No, I don't want to lie.
They got the Pablo Escobar shit.
It's over like $200 billion in liquid cash, like just in their bank account, because they just don't know what to do with it. Like the game is broken. Like I'm no, just you know, they did what they did. I respect it for being successful, but it's like they don't even know what to do with that shit. They legit don't even know what to do with it. They could buy all the major companies right now, Tesla, Netflix, Uber, all of them, and be perfectly fine. I'm not sure what's holding them back besides regulators, but it's a non situation.
So
everything always gets back to the oligopoly, to the golden age.
Do you think that love can prevail? And we can just leave this all behind and go back to a simpler time?
Sure.
Like by Valentine's Day, like
I don't know if times Jeff Bezos ever
gonna come down on a drone and shit. He's gonna come out at Mackenzie's concert and give her flowers.
Give her a rose. Tell her she's on the next season of The Bachelor.
You have one more chance.
We're like, fuck with me. He could do an ill game show though. That's not a lie. And it'll be on Prime. Come on now.
Prime. That's how they can save Prime. That's what get people to watch Prime Video. Not fucking Marvel's Mrs. Maisel. That ain't gonna do it.
Although I heard it was lit. I haven't seen it.
You heard.
One of my good friends told me it was lit.
You heard. Shout out to Malcolm. Did you see it?
I haven't seen it.
Yo, Jeff Bezos. See, this is this is what you need to do to save Prime Video. Put your new search as a reality show. It could be an Instagram show. No, it's going to be on Prime Video. Prime Video show of his new search for his next wife. Or will Mackenzie come and get her love back next time on Bezos Billionaire?
What do we call it?
I don't know.
We had two names. What was
for Lover Bezos.
For the Love of Bezos. That's been done already, though. Like three times.
Yeah, but not like.
But he said not white.
Not with $140 billion.
They said not white. Because I was like, you might be right.
That's true. Low key.
Oh, man.
So, if we can step out of everyone's pockets for a minute and think. Well,
Prime is not stepping out of anybody's pockets right now. But please try.
Can we get a little more local? We're talking about rich people. Can we get back to one of our favorite havens of rich people?
Yes.
The great city of New York City.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. We call home.
We do.
Indeed. If we're going to check in on our great city, we're going to get local for a minute.
Local shit.
10-10 wins. Hi, we're out here on the streets. The traffic's pretty bad. In today's local news, in this year, 2019.
Today's local news, I saw a guy just puking outside, like when I was walking in, like vociferously vomiting.
That's terrible. It was brick. There's a man vomiting.
Yeah. So he was with a woman. I didn't feel bad.
Like, okay. He wasn't
walking past him and ignore him. Yeah.
You're drunk and you just walk by.
Normal day. I don't know. Look like he ate something bad. I don't know.
Our state is important. Our city is important. It's the most important city in not only the country, but I would dare say the world.
I agree.
You know, unless you're Chinese, then, you know, Hong Kong or something like that.
Whatever.
But there's a lot going on here, supposedly, by our mayor / the actions of our governor that are looking to shape what social policy means for the country and the world coming up, DJ. So I just wanted to talk about it a little bit so we can check in and let our, I guess, listeners know, especially if they're listening to the city, what can be in store for 2019.
Yeah, it's going to be like a great New York advertisement.
Yeah, it's basically the new deal, the new deal. First and foremost, supposedly 600,000 people that are uninsured will supposedly be getting health care.
That was a lot of supposedly.
Well, because, you know, when you hear about these things, you're like, oh, what? Yeah, like
strings attached. Like, how they paying for this shit?
I mean, New York State is supposedly pushing this. You talked about, you said California is going to do it. It's proposed. A lot of these things are happening. Also, 2 weeks guaranteed vacation in New York City.
That's pretty good, I guess. 2 weeks.
I mean, better than as a baseline.
Better than child labor.
It's better than child labor as a baseline. And you're supposedly developing a tenants' security board, like a tenants' rights board, to actually have the city purchase back and or eminently domain back the buildings of improper landlords.
Ah.
So I just wanted to let you know that this is happening, listeners. And I was curious, as a, I want to say, lifelong New Yorker, how do you feel about what's going on in our great city?
How do I feel?
Because there's other big news that, of course, I thought you might want to break or talk about as well with the city.
I believe it when I see most of this stuff. I'll be curious to see how it affects the tax code in terms of how much each of us are being taxed, or based on whatever tax brackets. Or are they just going to pay for this with fiat money, going to debt? There's a lot of shit going on. And there's always that interplay with the state as a whole with our, what you call it? Your great governor? I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
the governor.
The governor.
Our begrudgingly Democratic governor Cuomo. They're starting off their state legislative sessions with a unified governorship and state house. The Democrats finally, for the first time, have a Democrat-controlled state Senate.
House.
And Assembly. Yeah,
yes, house. Yeah. Assembly.
A black woman, Andrea Stewart Cousins, is the Senate leader. First woman, first black woman.
Shout out.
Carry that title, which is dope. And it may get a little boring, but basically they have a large slate of things that they were trying to accomplish, some easier than others, especially the others being things that have more financial strings attached to them. But they are trying to basically make voting making voting a lot easier, codifying abortion rights. What else did I read that they're trying to look at? Supposedly looking into ethics laws and anti-corruption laws. That remains to be seen. Everybody knows New York State is a haven for political corruption all the time. Shout out to my mans, the president who would be Elliot Spitzer.
Aw, dag.
Yeah. Gotta leave the prostitutes alone.
You know what? It's just like thinking about it now. I'm like, why didn't we just let him cook?
Let him rock.
Let him cook. Hey, man. Was Anthony Weiner did underage? What did he do?
I don't know. I mean,
let them cook.
Know. He did the thing with the picture with his baby on the side. I don't know.
He was just wilding.
Yeah, he was kind of wild. He might have like something a little off.
But he would have brought us great progressive policies.
Supposedly. I don't know. But yeah. So it may be seen they're trying to push into some more like universal healthcare options, and most importantly trying to raise money for the New York City subway, which is in a perpetual state of crisis. Shout out to my commute today. And are looking into a couple of different ways in which they could make that money, because apparently we need about $40 billion for the subway, like
it's nothing,
to bring it out of crisis mode over the next couple years. So people are looking into congestion pricing, as in charging a fee for entering the center of Manhattan during business hours. Also a fee for like TLC, taxis, limousines, and cabs.
Which that's going to be...
Well, they pushed that through, I think, late last year, and there was such a revolt and such a strong lobbying push against it that they basically postponed that effort.
Cabs have been through a lot recently.
Yeah, I don't know. Uber too. What else were they considering? Potentially putting tolls on all of the bridges going into Manhattan. That would have been a big thing. So actually the biggest impediment to changes like that are not actually even like Republican opposition. It's actually the Democrats of the surrounding areas that have people that commute into the city on a daily basis that hear their constituents.
Nobody's trying complain. To pay within the city to go to Manhattan.
Right. Nobody's trying to pay to drive in. Nobody's trying to pay an extra price on their Metro card, their Metro North ticket, their LIRR ticket. So it's always a push and pull. People are very reluctant to spend more money on things, even if it's for the public good. You have to have a very strong argument to do so. Apparently, I read that in a Times piece that the last time the Republicans lost the state Senate, literally last time, because of they had a few state senators around New York City that a lot of them lost because they tried to push in some type of tax increase at the time as well. Mm. And they did, and a lot of them were voted out of office. So the Republicans came in and basically reversed that, and then the process repeats itself again. Because nobody likes to spend more money. Like, that's just a fact of life, especially when it comes to taxes. We have all been habituated to be skeptical of taxes and think like they're the worst thing in the world. So that is the state of play. But yeah, it seems like a lot is happening. Brandon's just like, wait, let me drone on.
Because I was going to clarify about the healthcare thing. It's an expansion of Metro Plus.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah. NYC Care, it's going to be on a sliding scale. So, you know, if you're making a little money, you're going to have to pay. If you're not making any money, you probably not have to pay anything at all. But it's going to be an expansion of what was already available through Metro Plus to New York City specific hospitals, like private hospitals. You probably still have to pay out of your own pocket. But it's something.
Yeah.
It's the beginnings.
Yeah. I mean, having healthcare is one of the most important things, just period. Like, not even just for your own health. It's actually just a tool to make sure that you don't go into massive debt. Like, if you think about it, a lot of people that don't have healthcare, if you take an ambulance ride, riding in an ambulance is like literally one of the most expensive things that you can do, like within a short period of time.
Is that some balling shit Jeff Bezos does sometimes?
Just ride ambulances like
Uber
to the club.
Ambulance.
Ride ambulance to the club. Just
fucking ambulance.
Yeah.
Roll out.
Like shit literally be like $1,000 over a G for one ambulance trip if you bleeding out, you know, somewhere on the street. So not good. But yeah, it seems like New Jersey is trying to push through with a lot of progressive policy regarding like bail reform, as you said, election reforms, and even healthcare potentially. California is not doing anything. So a lot of these progressive states are trying to be real, at least left-leaning. What do they call those? Laboratories of democracy.
It's happening.
I mean, should they?
The Republicans are getting what they wanted, yo. I would say that. The laboratory democracy, rhetorical argument that they don't really believe in, but it's happening now. It's happening, and I think, hopefully, it will create opportunities like this in all these major states we're talking about for change to actually happen on a little speedier scale so we don't have to wait for some of the craziness to die down and all the stuff like that.
Yeah,
so that's
when it,
positive.
Yeah, when it comes to these like the main bluish type states, I feel like they've always had people in the legislature that are working towards like these goals, but I think a lot of us kind of just have directed our attention even more so to state efforts because we're like, fuck it, like federally shit is just crazy. So the best we can do is, the best thing we can do is just try to make our state the best that it can be, or at least supporting candidates that follow our political leanings. So it seems like something is happening. I don't know. We'll see.
At least some things at least some things in this world are a bit progressive.
Yeah, like things are happening and not like cynical things, like bullshit political things.
Like going to the border, all kind of stupid
shit.
Yeah,
you know, trying to help people like in legitimate ways. It's not always about giving people money per se, but, you know, making it easier to vote, bail reform so you're not just caught in debtor's prison for your entire life.
Which is, you know, Constitution people, that's one of the Bill of Rights things that you should be paying attention to. The First Amendment, was it number 4? Speedy trial, right? Trapped in fucking debtor's prison waiting to... It's like, great, people wait in jail for years to just... get to a trial.
Right, yeah. Waiting in jail. Jail is for, in most cases,
Being held
until you go to court and or for very short sentences.
Less than a year,
Less than a year, right. So a lot of people know the Khalif Browder story. He was arrested after being accused for stealing a backpack and spent 3 years in Rikers because the court system kept pushing shit back. The documentation seems like it makes it clear that the prosecution really just didn't really have much substance to bring on. They were like, oh, we'll keep rolling shit back. And eventually they just let him go.
Yeah.
And he was broken after that and committed suicide shortly after. So this shit is like not a game. And I've known of people that are just like in jail because they can't afford bail, because bail be a couple G's in certain cases and they don't have enough money or assets to post bail. So it can be pretty bad.
One of the big things I've seen with that reform is they just make it proportional. Because at the end of the day, it's not like it's a payment. You're supposed to get it back. So just like let it be whatever. I want the money back. I'll just come get it. Like,
yeah, I mean, actually New Jersey spearheaded a lot of this. I think they already passed bail reform, I think, a year or two ago. But where they have like this whole assessment of supposed perpetrators. Before they go on trial, well, like when they're assessing bail, and it's basically like a checklist saying, okay, is this person a flight risk? What type of crime are they accused of committing? What other factors? How have they been to prison or been accused of crimes before? Where do they live? What is their income? X, Y, and Z. And for a large portion of those people that are run through that assessment, they just basically just get to go home. They got to just come back to court because people are going to come back to court. Like, average guy in the hood is not going to be a flight risk. Like, he's not going to Canada for, I don't know, for assault or some shit like that. Like, that's just not going to happen. Or not even assault. Simpler things. Petty theft.
Yeah. Right?
Like, that's not it's a ridiculous. So, yeah, New York is trying to adapt something similar to that. So it looks like these main states in question, like, they're all kind of taking bits and pieces from one another or trying to outdo one another with a progressive policy, which is cool. And it is cool to be in a state where people are trying to get better and fix a lot of the inequalities in our country.
It does make me feel good because we're at the point where things are happening. You're worried all the time. It's a lot of anxiety and tension. But it's like, oh, like, if we get enough people who want to make change, want to do things together, we can vote them in, and then it'll happen.
Yeah.
It's giving hope for that actually happening federally.
Yeah. New York City definitely still has to continue to address housing policy. Rent is still too crazy high. And although there is still a lessening building boom, it seems as if a lot of that housing is like for luxury dwellings or whatnot. So basically apartments for rich people. And we need it more spread around.
I will say this before we move on to a regressive topic. I want to talk about the thing about housing. The one major thing that happened in New York City these past couple of weeks that we were supposed to talk about, we almost jumped over it, is that the L train is now back online.
L train.
Due to governor's mandate. Boom.
Cuomo came in at the end like the rattlesnake or something.
Hey, listen, you know what? We're going to make this happen. It's open. Boom, baby.
Nah, you missed the cue. You missed the cue. Like, you know, wrestling happens like somebody just comes out. Psh.
Oh, shit. It's Cuomo.
It's Cuomo.
Cuomo. Oh, he's got a steel chair.
Is he walking down?
My like, God.
Is he walking down like Vince McMahon? Like,
nah, you got to run in. And
is he run? Oh, he runs in like.
And slide under the thing.
He does that goofy run like Stone Cold. Like,
oh, shit.
Slide in, he somehow like picks up the steel chair at the same time. Okay. Yeah. Smacks de Blasio over the head, like, all right.
De Blasio's down.
The mic comes down.
Andy Byford is down.
The mic just comes down because it should be synced up. Because
when you get hit with a chair, you also slide out of the ring. You go, yeah. Oh, I'm hit. Like,
I got to get the fuck out of here. I'm just hurt. And the mic comes down. DeBlasio's like, all right. That plan that we had, nah, fuck that plan.
It's gone.
We're going to keep running the L train.
And we're going to take some bubble gum and shit. And we're going to
plug up the holes.
Plug up the holes.
It'll be fine.
So all you mooks can get into work.
It'll take a little longer. We like Williamsburg.
And then, you know, in 2035, when the L train collapse, disaster happens.
I won't be here. Fuck it.
So, you know,
it's lit.
Enjoy.
Gives a double birds and be out. Actually, throw me a beer.
Dre drinks a beer, pours all over his face. Oh, but, man. Yeah, so
people were abandoning housing across the L train, definitely, especially around Williamsburg and Bushwick area.
So
where
if you sign that deal at a little lower rate,
yeah,
you're winning?
Yeah, if you moved because of the train as a friend of mine did, then you're kind of salty right now.
And if you're a person who is living in the complete short term, great for you.
Right. So let us be clear. This plan was supposed to go into effect. De Blasio and the city came up with a plan, and the MTA and whatever, they all came up with a plan to shut down the train for 15 months, the L train for 15 months. The train goes from Canarsie all the way across the water to like 14th Street, yep. Midtown. Well, somewhat Midtown. And this plan was supposed to go into effect in April.
Yes, April 2019.
What is that? 3 months? January, February, March. And 3 months.
Yes.
And this was to
and
do
this
repairs.
This has been planned for years. Yeah, the point where people have been knowing about it. They've
had repeated sessions, community board meetings. MTA took a lot of shit. De Blasio took a lot of shit. They're like, this is the best way to do it. Hurricane Sandy was crazy. Train got fucked
flooding,
up.
All that. The train,
we're low-key tumbling through water right now. Nobody knows. Just don't, you know, like whatever. And yeah, your boy Cuomo did the wrestling thing and came in literally like a few days ago, gave us our first New Year's present and was like, yeah, you know what? That plan, fuck it. I got my own scientists and engineers using this space age putty, plug up the holes, gonna use one tunnel at a time. Service will be abbreviated, but at least you'll have the L train, so you have no choice but to be happy about it.
You know, as someone who doesn't live along the L and had really no skin in the game, I really just wanted to shut it down. Like, just fix it. Just fix it.
Of course. That's the thing. Like, fixing things is good. Because you know why? Life is long. Cities last a long time. New York City is hundreds of years old. Once the shit is fixed, it's fixed. Cortlandt Street just opened. The one train stop that got destroyed from 9/11.
And the World Trade Center looks nice now.
It looks nice. Shit took 12 years or longer. What? 2001? That shit took
18
years. 18 years. took a whole young adult's life. But yeah, they finished it. And,
so this shit could have been done in 2 years and had a tunnel that lasts for another 80 years.
Right. And instead, I don't even know what they're doing, but it seems a little dubious in short, especially for them to come up with this plan and get it popping April as intended. So yeah, that was a very New York thing. Very, there's always this supposed interpersonal clash between the governor Andrew Cuomo and the mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio. So this is just seems like the latest instance in that story.
So if you're L train rider or you heard about the great mythical Williamsburg, still good to go.
Still good to go. Last note is I'm still dubious because if you know anything about the L train, especially during rush hours, that shit be packed.
Yeah.
Like crazy packed, especially at Union Square.
Yeah, I don't fuck with it.
During rush hour times, morning and night, I can only imagine people trying to get back into Williamsburg when the train is kind of, because it's not going to be full service.
Right.
They're going to be like construction and whatnot going on. That's just going to be insane.
You know what I forgot about too? Is they're supposed to be doing all this extra shit. There's going to be like a bus service, there'll be ferries.
Ferries, bus lines, bike lanes over the Williamsburg Bridge. Like all that stuff is in flux now because this was a very Trump style, just literally like a random pronouncement. Like just, and everybody just has to readjust to the announcement from the governor. So I guess it makes things interesting. Contrary to Trump, this was like potentially for good. So like, okay. Everybody's like, all right.
Man, people had already accepted it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's like he should have did that shit when it was announced and people were like, oh, yay.
Oh, like the day of April 1st?
They were like, we need to shut it down. No, like when they were like, we need to shut it. He just comes in, no. And then he would got some politics points.
He didn't know. So I don't know. That's weird. Maybe we'll hear about the behind the scenes later on after the fact. Because this story just seems crazy. To have these engineers come looking at it is crazy. I don't know. Just came too random. Crazy.
So we're being progressive for most of the pod. If we could just regress, sadly. Digress and regress for the last, I don't know, 5 or so minutes. Did you watch this Kells documentary?
Why'd you have to take us down for one? And for two, do you still feel comfortable calling him Kells?
Like, give him the honor. Robert. Because he has Kells, he has Pied Piper, he also has what? R?
The R.
What is it? Finding R? What is it?
Surviving R. Kelly.
Oh, but that shit's mad whimsical. Okay.
No.
Surviving R. Kelly. Yeah, I did not watch this because...
How could you... I'm always like perplexed that your ability to stave off like virality and the few monocultural moments that we still have in the U.S. Like, how did you not watch this?
I'm usually into other monoculture moments that are like stupid or irrelevant that people don't care about, that I'm like, oh, isn't everyone talking about this? And they're like, no, they're not. Here's one thing. Now it's going to sound racist.
Okay.
All right. I don't care what niggas are up to. And this was like some real like nigga shit. Cause it's just like, how many times are we going to go down this R. Kelly is a sex predator thing? We all know he's a sex predator.
This has also been like a recurring theme on the podcast.
I don't want to talk about it again.
Weirdly enough, we've talked about R. Kelly at least like 5 times. on like the combination center link.
Because someone's always doing an expose and people are going, R. Kelly, we know about that. And then we all nod and we look around and we go, yeah. And then it just goes away. And then we do it again.
Well, you know, niggas don't read. We all don't read. So TV is a visual medium.
Is that what's happening?
And I think this was just like a good slam dunk. It obviously had all these harrowing first-person interviews of his victims and the people that covered shit up for him or excused it or whatever term you want to use. So I think that's what really just galvanized everybody. That it was just like a nice, complete package. It also had that Lifetime sheen, so they know how to make it a bit more dramatic with the music and some of the visual cues in the later episodes. I watched the whole thing. I binged the whole thing. I was right there along with everybody else. I didn't read all these like meta recaps, but yeah, it was six episodes. Oh, wow. Just like 45 minutes to an hour apiece. Going through the various phases from the beginning of him hanging out at Kenwood High School, after dropping out and becoming famous. Picking up girls to meeting Aaliyah to the sex tape of him like peeing on a 14-year-old.
Yes.
And
all the way up to the sex cult.
To the abduction of young women to the sex cult. So it covered just about all the bases. I'm halfway with you. I think I was just in it for the virality. Not to say like I'm too good to watch it, but I knew all of the shit as well. I wasn't fucking with R. Kelly. It definitely was like hard to watch just because that shit is terrible. Yeah, it's really bad. Really, really bad. That just goes to show you like the power and the control. Just powerful men, like they could just get away with a lot of shit. And he's gotten away with this for so long and is still collaborating with a lot of people. There's a lot of begging the question to be asked of various celebrities or entertainers, Lady Gaga, Rihanna, B2K, or whomever, that have worked with him even after this whole ordeal. And just to see, like, I mean, there's only so much that those type of people could say. It was like, damn, like, this shit was already kind of common knowledge, and y'all still fucking with R. Kelly?
Aaliyah was the first thing, right, that people knew about. Yeah. And it was, like, obviously weird. But people let it cook. He was still in the culture. Then piss tape.
Yeah, there was a long period of time in between that. But yeah,
when he became TP2.com, that was in between that. I wish all that.
Yeah.
And he,
I believe I can fly.
There's two strains of R. Kelly good faith, goodwill that were made that people cannot take themselves from. The first is R. Kelly church anthem music, right?
Okay.
So
I'm gonna see if we agree.
Believe I Can Fly into the, like, what was the other one? The World's Greatest. And those songs sort of galvanized culture around him in the way that, like, okay, there's these, like, oh, graduations and people, and he's like, his overall, like, I'm a fake church singer vibe. Now that's going concurrent with hood poet bullshit, like hood singer, all that, club bangers. That's going concurrent with all that. So all that had built up this persona to when that first trial happened, where he's like, well, you know, I'm just a good man, it's hurt inside, all that bullshit. And then post the initial case, you have quirky white people falling in love with Trapped in a Closet. Quirky white. And so, oh, it's so funny, Trapped in a Closet. And that, like, extended his late career thing. When people, everyone knew, but like, oh, Trapped in a Closet is so funny. Like, there's a midget. And, like, between the two of those things, people just were like, an ignition. That
there was a lot. There was a lot in there. Like, he just has a tremendous amount of hits. I think it just boils down to he really was a R&B superstar. Prolific. He made like essential black music and black, you know, like you said, like those kind of just barbecue songs or wedding songs or whatever. Like, it really was a representative of black culture and put on for that. So we all were collectively giving up a lot by acknowledging this. And there is a bit of validity to, if you weren't really following all of this shit as closely as a lot of people do, because people don't pay attention. People are generally, you know, got they have their own thing going on. He was acquitted,
yes,
on that trial, particularly because the victim at hand and her family, Sparkle's family, they did not cooperate. They said it wasn't her, just completely didn't cooperate. So in the legal proceedings, there was no way, there was no realistic way for him to be convicted, and he wasn't convicted in that trial. So if you're moving on beyond that, and there's that great time in between, you know, 2004 till a handful of years ago before all the sex cult shit started coming out, it's like, okay, he seems a little weird, but and this thing happened, but he was acquitted. So what do I know? I'm not about to spend the time to look into right. this. That's a mod. I'll give a modicum of plausible deniability to that, but you know, I'm me, and I can only like think for myself. And I know I would look into it a little bit more, and I'm like, that shit was kind of weird. But at the same time, we're all hypocritical to a certain degree. We all excuse things that we probably shouldn't of people we admire and put on pedestals. Because I was right there with everybody else, fucking with Trapped in the Closet. I thought this shit was engaging. I mean, I definitely can date it because that came out when I was at the Boys and Girls Club doing summer camp. And so I would have to be maybe like 13 or 12. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't an adult or anything, so... I don't feel like too conflicted about that, but it's like he was still just part of regular popular culture and collaborated with any and everybody still going forward. Fucking Nick Cannon, Gigolo, and We Thuggin', Fat Joe.
Music was terrible between 2000 and 2005.
And like, he contributed to just like a lot of milquetoast type shit. And so it just that vagueness, he was able to exist in that vagueness and keep maybe not the same wide fan base as he did, but it was pretty intact up until recently. Social media definitely has steered this, and also this continued journalism from a few people in Chicago, like Jim DeRogatis, who was in the doc
and mentioned by in the song by R. Kelly.
Oh, apparently on his clapback song.
Yeah,
right?
About like, whatever. Why are you worrying about my life? You trying to follow me, Jim DeRogatis? Like,
oh, God.
It's terrible.
Yeah. So it was only up until now when it really reached a critical mass. I don't think he would have gotten nowhere near this far if, let's say, social media popped off, you know, in 2000 and manifested itself,
you know,
around 2004. I don't think there was a chance that would happen.
Counterpoint. That just about how he wouldn't have gotten this far. Number one, attention spans are even shorter now. But the idea of getting someone out of the pocket and, you know, this sort of outrage culture maybe wasn't strong enough.
Yeah, the cancel culture.
But it's just funny that 2002 was the first Dave Chappelle skit about, you know, that was wild popular.
Yeah,
and then what was like, was it 06 or 07, the Boondocks, like R. Kelly?
Yeah.
It was just like...
But those were a bit more niche, smarter takes on it, though.
I just feel like the Chappelle one was like very and neither viral one of those, for its day.
Absolutely.
Maybe Boondocks
absolutely
more
amongst like a certain subset of people. But at the same time,
none of white people were upset.
it was still related to that trial. And realistically, both of those bits were mocking. They were mocking. They weren't like real takedowns. They weren't really let's cancel R. Kelly. It was making fun of what happened.
Satirical. I mean, yes. Satirical, it wasn't a serious.
It wasn't a serious statement like, yo, we need to dead R. Kelly. This guy is a child predator. And his muses, because, you know, you got to have like conceptual things to think about when you're making music. Like, if you think about it, it's even grosser now because his muses were always young, like little kids.
It's nasty.
For all of those songs, like all of his pornographic type songs or his love type songs, like his main muse is like a little, like a young woman. Like that shit is not dope, and it makes me not really want to, definitely not want to listen to his shit.
It's not.
It's like he's really singing about little girls, right?
It's nasty.
So, yeah, I definitely think things would be a bit different. It was a long time coming before it was like this whole galvanizing thing. And it seems as if these viral, like these viral moments, they're kind of designed and dispatched out to reach these type of outcomes, because if not, public opinion doesn't sway that well, especially for like a beloved type of figure. Like cult of personalities, they're just hard to dislodge for people that are doing wrong. You know?
I will say this to sort of wrap up the R. Kelly thing. Apparently, he's now facing a probe in Fulton County, Georgia, for the sex cult thing. So the DAs in Chicago have been obviously keeping tabs on him. So the documentary is having things move forward.
Right. Definitely. Definitely. And it's establishing, hopefully, a permission mechanism, like literally just a subconscious mental permission mechanism for his victims to come forward and to say something, because he probably, on a high level, he's not, for all these like sex cult type of things, most of these women are basically, he's wisened up. He's only going after women 17 and up now. Yeah. I guess his teen, they were all like, yo, 14, too young, bro. You gotta move up.
Yeah.
So, you know, he traps them and controls them. And it's legal, basically, because these women are legal, especially once they hit 18. So there's not very much that legal authorities could do unless the women say something, unless the women come up with certain claims and they're able to...
held against their will or these sort of
things. Yeah, unless they're able to substantiate it. And there hasn't been enough of that as of yet. So it remains to be seen if he really is held to legal consequences. He's obviously been held up to cultural consequences, public consequences, but...
that's not enough.
People want to see a bit more than that, especially after watching that doc. It's like, damn, this nigga really got away for a while.
So you probably, considering the legal eye they had on him, you probably like, Aaliyah, we're going to go through the states that whatever we're legal in, or probably some weird legalese to maintain that relationship or something like that. It's really terrible to really think about over the course of time, especially how long ago it seems. It's over 20 years now.
Right.
It's insane.
Okay, so do we have like 5 more minutes? I wanted to pick your brain real quick.
Pick
still
my brain.
Still on this topic. You know, and it's funny, he may laugh to himself if and when he hears this, but you know CP, Christian?
Yeah.
He came on the pod before. This fool tries to strike up conversation in the little chat we have, and is asking us about
being provocative.
Trying to be provocative. Now, this will be a shot to him if and when he hears this, but it came off to me as if he was scanning and looking at people's different hot takes and talking points on social media and whatnot, and kind of like
hottest one.
And try and like merge it a bit together, and was trying to shoot it back at me. I'm like, dog, this you're not really. I'm not really jabbing what you're saying, especially in the midst of it. So, okay. I'm gonna read the text chat, and you tell me what you think.
Listening.
He says, because it's relatively short, too. He says, DJ, y'all going to talk about the R. Kelly stuff on the pod? This shit is a real hot topic. I said, maybe. We've touched on it before. LOL. he says, especially with me being a DJ, I'm interested. What's your thoughts? I said, I think I responded to his first thing, like with me being a DJ. And I said, you were playing his shit? And he said, I haven't played it, but I would. I said, nah, you can't at this point. He said, why not? What's changed? I said, nothing has changed. He said, so then what's the issue? If I can't play his music, then I can't play Jay-Z or Rihanna.
Is the music separate from the artist?
Not even that. Listen, he said, so what's the issue? If I can't play his music, then I can't play Jay-Z or Rihanna. All I said was, don't play Oblivious. He said, both are big supporters. I'm like, call that into question for one. I can't play B2K, Pretty Ricky. He wrote for hella people. We got to cancel everyone that ever collaborated with him. I said, I'm not even going to entertain this foolishness. Do what you want. He said, you sound like a hypocrite. You sound hypocritical like everyone else.
He really wants this
laughing mad
conversation.
And I just Leslie sent the gif of like the dude from Atlanta. Well, he was viral before Atlanta, like throwing the deuces and disappearing. That's what I was saying. Things I'm like, I'm not about to like argue with you about this shit.
And neither am I.
Oh well, damn. All
right. Yeah, I mean, like you're right. Like, yo, like just stop it.
Gotta chill.
Troll argument aside. Can we live without R. Kelly every day? How often do you really listen to R. Kelly? And there's some R. Kelly songs that I really like. Yeah. But you know what? I'm all right. I'm good. Especially not in a public forum as a DJ. Like, if you're listening to your iPod, you're like, all right, it's my guilty pleasure.
Right. I think that one was a given. I think his main one that was somewhat worth responding to, although I just didn't really care to, was about, yes, like, are we supposed to sanction his collaborators as well? And whom of those collaborators, like,
God will decide.
Should be sanctioned. And it's damn near on a case-by-case basis, for one. And for two, the music industry is a business and janky like that.
If we could really make a real prison allegory or sort of comparison here.
What's up?
Is that in prison, who are the worst people that, you know, you go in there and they're not going to make it that long?
Rapists? Child rapists?
Yeah. We just don't, as a society, as a world, we do not fuck with that. That shit is like...
I mean, I only know that because I've watched a lot of Law and Order. Exactly. They always like use that as a bludgeon against them. Like, you're going to jail for being a pedo.
You better snitch. But they use that as a bludgeon because it's true.
Right.
We as a society do not fuck with that shit. And it's someone that's vulnerable. It's a sex crime, which is invasive.
Mm-hmm.
And people can understand Jay-Z stabbing a motherfucker. They can.
They can.
They're like, all right. You know what?
He was bootlegging his music.
Bootlegging my shit?
Fuck that. Stab him.
Take that on.
Mm.
But people are not going to understand, like, even for this whole, pedophilia wave to, like, protect them as mentally ill, like, that whole shit, like, they're mentally ill, they need to be, that whole shit.
Well, you got to nip that in the bud early, bro.
I'm saying, like, that's never going to be thought of on the same plane as being a collaborator or these other people that had their other problems, because they didn't do it. They didn't do it at the end of the day. And even if they worked with him or something like that, the stamp, the book wasn't closed on him at the time. So mm-hmm. I guess the further closer you are to this current date,
mm-hmm.
the more your work with R. Kelly has validity into us not fucking with you.
Okay.
So okay. It's a sliding scale.
So Lady Gaga's worked with him relatively recently, at least within the past couple of years. I don't know exactly. It's not like a big thing. I'm inclined to agree with you. Would I do it if I'm virtue signaling and all of that? If I was an artist even 5-10 years ago, would I be going on tour making a song with R. Kelly? No.
Pretty smart.
Jay-Z. Well, these other people are smart as well. Jay-Z is a smart person.
And what's the last time you seen him with Kells? Maced him, though.
I know. That's what we're saying. So even with CP to say, like, Jay-Z and Rihanna are big supporters, Jay-Z definitely does not fuck with R. Kelly. He had Tata mace him, and they canceled a whole Best of Both Worlds tour around this time when he was going to court for this sex tape trial. And one note to that is also that these are professional artists, and they also are managed and have label politics and shit like that. They're not hanging out with each other. Like, I really doubt, even Hov aside, all the people that he's maybe done work with, they not, like, in his life, and he bringing around, you know, toddlers and shit, and they like, oh, yo, that's just kills. Like,
and writing really for people, like, they have so many songs and demos floating around. Like,
absolutely. That shit is not, yeah. Even if you went to studio with him, That's bad.
Watch
pretty
out.
Bad enough. I understand that. But I highly doubt he's in an environment with whomever he did singles with. And, you know, R. Kelly's bringing around 15-year-olds and shit. Like, yeah, she 15. I'm fucking with her. Like, that. He kept that shit. Even as you watch the doc, especially, he definitely had a whole system around that. His whole team was complicit and helped abet that whole system he's had going for years now, and it seemed pretty contained. There weren't a lot of outside people coming in. The only outside people that would come in are young women one at a time that he would indoctrinate, trap, abuse, and continually repeat. That's it.
Well,
it's bad.
Can we end the pod on something lighthearted and fluffy, DJ?
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you have anything?
Oh, shit. Lighthearted and fluffy.
I got nothing.
I'm
in the dark.
It's new year.
It's new year. New year, new me.
That's, is it a new year?
People say that.
I was starting out writing on a blog a little while back, and it was I wrote like this super cynical takedown piece about that term, about like it's new year, terrible. New people. It's I was terrible. Like, people still suck. And if you weren't shit last year, you're not about to be shit this year. I'm not trying to rain in on anybody's parade. New year, new you, do your thing. But it's really not that much of a difference between a calendar date shifting unless you make it that difference. So if you choose to do that, please do so. I went to the gym the other day. Shit was flooded. Mad flabbies in there.
Yep.
Get sculpted. Get it together. I respect it. But am I expecting for a lot of new me's out there? No, I'm not. People don't really change that much.
Well, considering this is a podcast.
Damn, that was like not that really good.
Cynicism and darkness and dystopian techno futures. Fine. That's the world we live in. And that's how this podcast shall end.
I think we're two like pretty positive, happy-go-lucky type people, though. But I am realistic about shit.
I don't think so.
I'm not. Hold on. Which part?
Maybe I'm talking about myself.
Oh, shit.
I was like, I don't think so. But maybe that's just me.
Hold on. Oh, you're not happy-go-lucky?
No.
No, yeah. Okay, that was not the term. Yeah, you're not
positive or something? I don't know.
Yeah, you're like
sure
on a good wave. Like,
sure.
You're not a misanthrope, right?
Nah. You know, it's more nihilism than misanthropic. I don't let it affect my mood, but I don't, you know, believe in anything.
You can be a positive. You can be a positive nihilist.
Just like, oh, you know, it's just not. No,
nothing matters. It's like, just
slip though. pointlessness. But yeah, it's been another great Saturday podcast. We'll get this one up as soon as we can for you guys to enjoy and listen to, because you know we missed last week, but we're back. We're back for you.
Yeah, we gave almost like 2 weeks worth of content right now.
I know, it's quality. Combo. It's definitely quality here, and we might even have a little extra surprise, a little video for y'all too. So
oh yeah, I forgot about that.
You know, we're trying to grow.
Thursday surprise.
Trying to send a link to you. Surprises of all sorts.
Surprises and shit.
So be on the lookout, of course, SoundCloud, of course, Apple Podcasts. Listen and keep enjoying. Great. So yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's it. Let's get out of here.
Bye.